I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into another episode of 5 Out.
When you say 5 Out, what do you mean by that?
The NBA has set its schedule for the Disney bubble, but COVID cases are popping up across the league. Not sure what that's going to mean for everybody. And again, as we've been talking every other week, we're kind of flip-flopping on how we feel about the possibility of the league actually resuming the season. And the other thing is, too, are they going to be able to finish it? And if the NBA does go through with a restart, where does that put the Celtics? I heard something pop up on Jameer Nelson's podcast, too, that I ran by Matt and Ty. I was curious what they thought about it. I'm curious what you guys think about it, too. Feel free to let us know on Twitter and Instagram at 5OutPod. And if you haven't already, you can leave a rating and a review for the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you guys listen to us.
And let's get it going.
Look, I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it, yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it, yeah. I just want to be all right with it, yeah.
We got the schedules last week. You know, I think Chris Haynes was the first one to tweet it all out, and there's the layout that the Pelicans are open up against the Jazz, and then the Lakers are playing the Clippers on July 30th, and great, you know, the NBA is trying to plow through this shit. I got to give them that. But then we find out the Nets are barely going to be able to field the team. The Pelicans have had some positive tests. The Nuggets are shutting down the team facility now because they've had some positive tests too with their travel party or whatever. We don't know if it's players with either team, but we know Jokic had tested positive overseas. Matt, I don't know. We've been flip-flopping on this for the past, ever since the NBA really announced their relaunch plan. I swear we've flip-flopped like every other week on whether or not we're going to have a resumption of the season.
Well, if they actually can get down to Disney, I do think they'll be able to do it, but it's the question of, I mean, it seems like they're falling apart before we even get down there. So I would agree with that take that I can see why you're hesitant, but I think once they get down to Disney, it'd be good. The reason I'm saying that is I have some inside sources down in Disney that tell me that it's pretty much like nobody's down there. And I think Disney does the right things to, you know, promote social distancing and all that stuff. And I don't think a lot of people will be down there. So I think if they actually get down to where they're staying, I think it could work. Now, if something happens, obviously I saw Adam Silver say, you know, if there was a big infection or something like that, that could shut stuff down. But
yeah, I mean, Florida is, I think they've gone down the past couple of days.
No, but it's still bad. It's like 6,000 a day.
I mean, exactly. That's a freaking huge issue. But a lot can happen in a month.
Here's the problem with Florida, and not to get into politics or anything, just simple facts, is that they try to restart too early. They weren't required until like 2 or 3 days ago that you had to wear a mask in public. So
yeah,
people weren't wearing masks. They were doing whatever the hell they want, going to bar. They finally shut down bars too. The people going to bar inside bars, like that's. And exploded in their face. Now, the other problem is, like, when you think of Florida, it's such a big state. And a lot of the real bad, like, cases were in Miami and, you know, parts of Orange County. Not an actual, like, Disney territory. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's different from where Disney's located.
Yeah, that's true. And the other thing, too, Ty, I'm sure you've seen this and feel very proud of Florida as much as you try not to claim it as your state. the videos we're seeing of people going to like town hall meetings or whatever it is, and they're saying you can't. Yeah, I know Dalen Keefe played the sound of that guy who's like, they're trying to take away our liberty and take away my right and blah blah blah. All this crazy nonsense. Just people down there, like vehemently, do not want to wear masks.
I don't get it. If you want NBA basketball, you should wear a mask. I mean, yeah, there are crazy people down there that are just flat out denying COVID-19 altogether. And people like that are going to help prevent the, sports from returning. It's going to – who knows how long it could be now. It's spiking in Arizona, which they just reinstated a 30-day mass gathering ban. Diamondbacks camp opens in 29 days, or the first game, I believe, would be at home in 29 days. So how's that going to happen? Sports in general, I don't know about the NBA. Brian Windhorst was on ESPN Radio over the weekend, and he has 100% chance they start the season and 90% chance they finish it. I'm like less than 50 to start it and like maybe 25 to finish.
I think they're going to start it. I feel I as much as I keep flip-flopping on this shit, I could by next episode I could change my mind and say, "Oh, there's no way they're going to have it." I think the NBA is they have at least done the best they can to put themselves in a position to play. And I think they've come too far with their planning process to give up now. Now, the one thing I'm not certain on is if we're going to actually see the Brooklyn Nets down there, because like I said, they've lost. I mean, we knew Kevin Durant was up in the air, at least to the public, but he never intended on coming back. Kyrie Irving, I was telling you guys, he was not going to come back because he's still in the middle of his rehab process. It'd be very early for him to come back in late July. Nick Claxton is now not a big loss, but when you need bodies and then you lose Wilson Chandler, who elected to opt out, DeAndre Jordan tests positive for COVID-19 and now he's not going down. Totally understand that one, because once you get it, I can understand why you don't want to go down to Florida for a few months, even though he'd only be there for a limited time. And now Spencer Dinwiddie's up in the air too, because he caught it. He doesn't know what he's going to do at the time we're recording this, at least. So I do wonder what the hell is going to happen with that situation. Are they just going to get to a point where they can't get enough guys? I know they're able to get replacement players, but this shit's getting really weird for them. So I don't feel as confident that they will necessarily finish the year. The one thing is, though, that whenever somebody asks me, and I know you both agree with me on this, LeBron wants to play, they're going to play. It's just the finishing part is where I'm a little bit hazier, man. I'm not certain that they're going to be able to do that.
Well, yeah, obviously there's variables they can't control once they get down there. That's why I said I'm confident that if they get down there, I'm pretty sure they'd be able to finish, because I just think that Disney's done a good job of setting up, an atmosphere where they'd be able to be in a bubble and all that kind of stuff. Well, and obviously, again, you can't control variables. Do the players, stick to being in the bubble and take care of themselves and all that? That's to be, decided. But
that's a big if. That's a big if. And yeah. Ty, I'm sure you came across this, Ty, with the Stephen A. Smith, right? Didn't he talk about how – wasn't he talking about how players are going to struggle with this because of, their needs? So they have certain needs. I know you've hit on that before.
Yeah, it sounded like he was stealing my take word for word. He got in my brain somehow. So I said a month ago that all
big
these
fan
players
of the show.
Yeah, he's a 5L listener. Let's throw him a t-shirt, probably an extra large or 2X. But anyways, so last month on the show, I think I said that all these players' discipline is going to be tested because there's going to be no women for the first month, no wives, no girlfriends for the first month. Like, you have to meet somebody, and you have urges as a man, of course, so you're going to find that somehow. You can't bring out weed because weed's not legal unless you have a medical card in Florida. So a lot of these guys smoke. So where are you going to get it from? You probably have to leave the campus or find someone to bring it to you. So there's going to be some urges to leave the bubble. Just even go to a restaurant or go to a club, do something like that. Like, there's going to be a lot of urges for the guys in this NBA bubble in Orlando at Disney World to go out and leave. And if you do, it's a 14-day quarantine. So, I mean, it's a test against their will.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it's a team-by-team thing. We'll see. So there are some. I don't think the Celtics are really going to run into problems when it comes to that. I think those guys will be disciplined enough. Brad Stevens will probably talk to them. They're in it for the long haul. And for them, I know Jalen Rose is still leaning into this where he feels very confident that the Celtics are the team that can come out of the East. Because if Giannis tests positive for COVID-19, the Bucks are screwed. They have no chance. They're nobody at that point without Giannis. The Celtics, though, obviously, they have a bunch of guys. They can make a push. They can make a run. And I know when we look at the schedule that came out, the Celtics have a bunch of primetime or a bunch of nationally televised games. I think only one of them isn't nationally televised. So I think everybody else is kind of feeling the same way about them. I'm not fully buying into Jalen Rose's line of thinking that the Celtics are going to be the team that comes out of the East. But, Matt, I do think that this situation is perfect for the Celtics, given the depth and given all their guys are going to be healthy. As much as I know I've waffled with what's going to happen with the 76ers and everything, where they've been able to get healthy, but I think the Celtics have so much depth in their starting five, and then you add Marcus Smart in that too. I think that they are in a unique spot for everybody. I think this will play well to them.
Yeah, I think it's just hard to, you know, I think what your analysis on paper is right, but it's really going to come down to who can reestablish the chemistry and who can play less sloppy basketball, because I think it's going to be sloppy either way. I mean, they're playing in an environment they're not used to, in the sense of, like, there's no fans. They haven't played in a while together. They're only going to have a couple weeks to ramp up. So, I don't know. I think it overall is going to be sloppy basketball for the most part. It's just going to be different. It's just going to be a different environment. I'll watch, but it's not like I'm, like, geeked up to watch it. Because I just think the product itself won't be – to me, I'll be like, yeah, I'm bumming. I'm missing – you know, and hopefully this isn't the new normal, but not, you know, playoff basketball in the NBA is really good basketball.
Yeah, it is. But you know, we've had nothing though, Matt. I mean, it's better than nothing at this point.
No, I agree. I'm not trying to be, you know, I'm just saying I'm watching it. Like, there's no doubt. I'm just saying, I just know deep down it won't be the best basketball we could have. You know?
You're right. You're right about that. But, you know, and I think knowing that, that's why it kind of plays well into the Celtics hand tie, because they have four guys who can go and score 20 a night, and I'm counting Gordon Hayward and all this as much as he can turn invisible on certain nights. So I think that the fact that they have him, Brown, Tatum, and Kemba, that where everything's going to get all sloppy, that puts them in a position to succeed, because, like, well, you know, two guys are not at their best that night, but we have two other guys who can go and take the reins and take control and win this ball game.
How many games did their full lineup play together this year?
It was less than 20. I know that.
Right.
I think it was 16.
And I think the times when I know, Matt, your guy, Gordon Hayward, when he would go off, it would only happen when, you know, Tatum would sit out or Brown would be out. Like, a guy had to be out for Hayward to go off.
Ty, there was one other variable. You're right. There's one other variable.
What's that? Playing shitty teams?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Playing the
saw that coming a mile away.
Playing the Cavs or the Timberwolves. There you go. He was automatic.
Timberwolves are his team, man. He loves playing against them.
But you're right. That's a good point. They really haven't played that much together throughout the whole year.
That's got to feel good, because they've had all this time off, but they have everyone's kind of lost their momentum. Like, the Celtics are probably just hitting their stride, just getting healthy. That kind of sucks or whatever, but everyone's on an even slate now. And this team's pretty young. They're athletic. Like, they're smart. They're a bunch of smart guys. It's not, like you said, it's not Giannis where – if he goes down, your entire team's done. Like, the Celtics could theoretically lose a guy, and, like, they're not completely out of it. Like, the Sixers are in the same boat, too. You lose Embiid, they're completely out. They're not even going to win a game against the Celtics if you lose Embiid. Like,
you look at all the other teams pretty much, and if they lose their top one or two guy, they have zero chance. Now, if the Celtics lose their top one or two guy, that still hurts them a lot. But they're not going to feel that hit as much as everybody else, because if the Lakers lost Davis or if they lost LeBron, that's huge. The Clippers lose Kawhi or Paul George, that's huge. And then you go to the Bucks, same thing. You go to the Rockets, same thing. You go to the Raptors too. You lose Pascal Siakam, you have no chance. That's another. In this environment with COVID-19, that plays well for the Celtics. I mean, in if we think somebody's going to test positive, because it sure as hell seems like it's going to happen. It's got to. There's got to be guys that are going to test positive, unfortunately. I think it plays perfectly for them. I just wonder.
But there's two variables that we're not talking about.
What's that?
There's going to be gambling on these games, and there's still NBA officials reffing these games.
That's so true.
I'm telling you, that's a factor to me. I don't give a shit what anybody says. That's definitely a factor.
Well, wait, why the gambling? I mean, do you think people – are you saying that you think people fix it? I understand, other than the refs. I understand the refs.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm throwing it out there. I don't fully believe they still do it, but the fact that there was an NBA official and there is still an NBA official that currently refs that was with all that other minutia, but they, you know, pardoned him, but he's still a ref and he definitely was involved with all that stuff. But I'm saying, I guess really my thing is it's still NBA officials. And at the end of the day, I feel like they ref for what the NBA wants as a product, you know, and for the finals. Leading
That's
up
true.
To the finals.
You can't deny
you
it.
You know, like, have they decided what they're doing, Nick? Like, what is the playoff? Are they doing Eastern and Western conferences, or are they doing that 1-16 thing?
No, they're keeping it the same. They're not changing any of that. The only difference is the play-in format. That's it.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah.
So I guarantee you, and it probably will be the same way because they're the two best teams in the West, but I guarantee you'll see Lakers, Clippers. I'd be shocked if you didn't see that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They want, at the end of the day, they need the best matchups because they're already at a disadvantage that there's no fans there. So they need people to tune in.
In that case, if Jalen Rose keeps talking up the Celtics like that on ESPN, that'll play into their hand and that won't work well for the Raptors. And either way, I mean, Ty knows as well as anybody paying attention to ratings and shit. The NBA is, they won't ever say it, but they don't want the Raptors to be one of the teams in the final
not
games because Canadian
chance.
Ratings do not help the NBA whatsoever. It only helped, what did they broadcast on? TSN? That's it, right, Ty?
Yeah, last year's finals was not good for the NBA. It was great for watching and awesome. Like, I loved watching the Raptors and Warriors, but was it 2 years ago?
The Raptors was Raptors Warriors was last year. I know it feels like it was 2 years ago, but that was last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The lockdown is like screwing my memory here. But yeah. So yeah, like you're saying, the Toronto market doesn't help for the U.S. at all in terms of the ratings. So the NBA did not like that. But I think the NBA would absolutely love to see the Clippers and Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. And probably they do not want Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals at all. So probably
Milwaukee in the finals. The Eastern Conference Finals, I think, is just it's a guarantee. Unless
Giannis. Yeah, they're going to make it. Yeah, but ideally what I'm saying is they probably want Boston and Miami.
Yeah, but like my question Maybe. To you, though, Ty, I get that point. But isn't it more star-driven? Like if you get Giannis versus LeBron, doesn't that help? Even though I get it's Milwaukee, but I'm just talking about the average fan, I guess.
Yeah, the average fan, I think, would love that storyline. But I think just historically, they've shown that when there's two small market teams like Detroit versus Cleveland, like in the Eastern Conference Finals, like those are – I'm not really choosing great examples here. But my point is when you have smaller markets, the ratings aren't going to be as high as a little bit of a dip. But a lot of the times, that's when you're not having your biggest stars play because your biggest stars aren't your smallest markets. Like Jordan would always be on the Bulls, so you're eliminating Chicago. You know, LA's always got a star, so if you know their teams aren't in it, then it probably is more of a team base rather than LA having like a superstar like Kobe or Shaq or whatever. So I guess my point is like the NBA wants the bigger markets to make it, but I mean, there's no way the Bucks aren't making it to the Eastern Conference Finals this year. You can just put it in your bracket right now. But
yeah,
who's going to play them? I don't know.
The only way it could happen is if Giannis gets COVID-19 at any point, maybe in the postseason. I mean, if they play, I think they could still beat the Magic or the Nets, or the Wizards for that matter. Whoever they end up playing as the out of the eighth seed. Without Giannis, but that second round, if they don't have Giannis, then they could be in a lot of trouble. Either way, though, I think, but hearing you break it down, Ty, the ideal matchup for the NBA is Boston versus the Lakers. There's no question about it. I mean, obviously, it's the oldest rivalry and everything, but now it's like LeBron gets his chance to win for the Lakers, and who is he going to beat in the course of it all? He's going to beat the Celtics, the Lakers' longtime rivals, and now he's a legendary Laker because he beat the team that they have to beat. They tied them for most championships all time. It's in you know, it's LeBron, it's the king leading the NBA back to glory out of the pandemic and all this bullshit. I'm gonna vomit thinking about that storyline. I would love to see Celtics Lakers though. I just don't want to see LeBron win at all. That would be a nightmare.
That's an Adam Silver wet dream. Celtics, Lakers, East Coast, West Coast, two massive basketball markets. LeBron versus, you know, the rising Celtics with Jason Tatum making it to the NBA Finals as a superstar. If Jason Tatum can take the Celtics to the NBA Finals, he is a legitimate superstar, top 10 player. Like, his ceiling is so much higher than I ever thought it would be.
I think, yeah. You already think it's higher than you thought it could have been?
No. If he leads the Celtics to the NBA Finals, his ceiling goes higher than I thought it would be. I think he could be a top 15 player and is on that trajectory. But yeah, if he goes to the NBA Finals, he's instantly a top 10 player because a lot of that would be his doing.
Yeah, he wouldn't be as good as James Harden, though. He wouldn't be as good as James Harden. Yes, that's true. But he won't be as good as James Harden, so it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, Ty. If he's not better than him, what do we give a shit? But, you know, Matt, I'm curious for you as a fan of the Celtics. Do you get worried when we see someone like Jalen Rose and then when we start talking about the expectations for the Celtics? Because last year the expectations were for them to get to the finals. Now, with the way everything's shaken out, with how well they were playing pre-hiatus, it's not out of the realm of possibility for them to make it to the finals and upset the Bucks and get through the Raptors in the process. Do you get unsettled by that, though, as a fan?
I think expectations have to change a little bit in the sense of, like, this is just a different format than we ever seen. I still personally believe that if they don't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, then it's a disappointment. But
definitely,
I just think you can't judge it the same as harshly because it's just like it's so like I don't know. We're just, even if they won it, like, right? Even if they won, I'd be happy. But I still would be in the back of my mind, like, you're gonna have to defend them winning that for the rest of your life.
Well, I mean, dude, people want to talk down whatever title people win. They always talk shit down. Don't they talk down about some of the Warriors ones? I mean, yeah, they got Kevin Durant, and obviously they're never going to lose and all this shit, or what, guys were hurt in a certain year. There's always excuses. Don't the Spurs get shit, too, for their first title, right?
I don't know.
Because it was a strike-shortened season and everything, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's obviously different, but...
But I'm saying, like, you know how we have the conversation, like, when the Lakers beat the Celtics, it was kind of like we all had that feeling like it was kind of fixed, and then obviously Perkins got hurt.
Right.
So I was like, a Celtics fan, you're really like, well, what happens if this didn't happen? But that's part of basketball. It's like last year.
Exactly.
The Raptors don't win if Kevin Durant doesn't get hurt. Like, that's just a fact. Like,
exactly.
They would have probably either lost in – they would have either got swept or lost in five. But that's basketball. This is a little different in the sense, though, that it's just – and I get, like, you've always said the point, which is correct. Like, everybody's doing this. It's like
– exactly.
Everybody's got to go through the same process. I just think there's something about, you know, when you see Michael Jordan win in Utah in game six in a hostile environment, this is just like – I don't know. It's just like anticlimactic. Like if LeBron wins against the Bucks in Walt Disney World with nobody there. Like, I'm like, I don't know. It's just not.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's never, you're not going to go back and look on it in the same way. I mean, the highlights are going to look so weird because you'll hear guys screaming and celebrating and there are no fans there. There's nobody there whatsoever. So yeah, it's not going to look as glorious necessarily. I mean, that's a fair point, but at the end of the day, a win's a win. And if that was me, and I know you too, Matt, you would not give a shit if you went and won.
As I'm talking more as a fan, if you're a player, it doesn't matter where the hell you play. You play to win, right? If Michael Jordan was in the situation, he'd win. He'd play to win. I'm not saying if you're a player and coach, that should be your mentality. I'm saying if we're looking at it as fans, I'm just saying it's a different. I don't know. There's a difference to me, you know, but.
Yeah, definitely.
No one cares what fans think.
The only team that I would potentially not discount it, but just not look at it in the same way necessarily is the Lakers, depending on how they play, because we all know like that storyline is exactly what the NBA wants. However, the one thing I will say that's now going against the Lakers is now that Avery Bradley has decided that he's not going to go, Ty, that has led to the return to the NBA of J.R. Smith, which we all know he's made some questionable decisions in his time playing with LeBron.
Yeah, that'll be a fun reunion. With J.R. Smith, we mentioned it earlier in the show, there's a lot of urges in the bubble, and I'm sure he loves women, but the bigger thing is he's got to be able to smoke some weed. So J.R. Smith might be the first victim in terms of leaving the bubble in search of some weed.
I wonder if they'll put that on Vegas time. They'll have like odds of who gets in trouble for the bubble first.
Oh my God. We got to get Shime to do that. We got to get him set the line.
He would be my top bet.
Deion Waiters, J.R. Smith, 1A1.
Oh, and Deion Waiters has played in Florida for a while. I know he's in Miami, but still, I might take Deion Waiters over J.R. Smith. Oh man, that's
James Harden, the strip clubs. He's addicted to strip clubs.
You know what though? If James Harden goes and does something,
allegedly addicted to strip clubs.
Right, allegedly. Thank you. Watch your mouth, Ty. But if James Harden goes and makes a mistake like that, you know who's going to take the blame is going to be Daryl Morey.
He won't be able to sleep at night. He already struggles waking up at sometimes and just not being able to cope with the fact that he doesn't have a title with James Harden.
It's all on him. Yeah, because you know what's funny? I cannot remember. Maybe I heard Jameer Nelson say this on his podcast the other day. They were talking about winning organizations. I'm curious actually what you guys think about this. They were talking about winning organizations, and they say how it starts with the front office, and then it kind of goes down to the players from there. It trickles down. Now I can understand that, but then at the same time, okay, you know where I'm going with this. Go ahead.
No. What did Michael Jordan say in that damn?
That's exactly what I thought of when I heard that.
When he said that, it was spot on. No, it's the other way around. Players set the tone for the organization. You can have the best GM and the best coach, but if you don't have the players, you ain't gonna win. It doesn't matter what your culture is like up top. You have to have the players set the precedent. That the players win games. That's why Michael Jordan and all them hated Fat Boy there, but.
What's his name again, Ty?
Oh, Jerry Krause.
But I guess, Brian, what I'm saying is that, I don't believe in that. Like, I think the front office is very important. Like, look at the Spurs. Like, they've had a great coach, great front office, great players. But the reason they won is because they had great players. Like, they had Tim Duncan. They had Tony Parker. They had Manu Ginobili. Like, if you don't have those guys, you don't win. That's what Michael Jordan's whole point was. Don't tell me. You know, it's all about the front office. No, the front office never put the ball in the basket. You know,
Krause tried to make it like it was it's the organization that wins it. And yes, you need help all around. That's very important. But it starts with the players. So when I hear that from a guy, I don't think Jameer Nelson was ever on a team that won anything. I know the Magic were pretty good when he was there. He had Dwight Howard and shit. But they never
– went to the finals, no?
Yeah, but they didn't win – still.
They got smacked by my boy Toby.
Yeah,
4-0, right? Sweep.
I thought the Magic did they get swept? I thought maybe the Magic had 1-1. I don't remember. I thought it was like whatever. I think it was a gentleman sweep. But the only reason the Magic actually shocked LeBron in the Cavs in the East. They crushed them. But I still think the Celtics beat them in that seven game series that KG was playing. I find that hard to believe.
But at the end of it all, you're right, Matt. That was the very first thing I thought of was the Michael Jordan documentary where he's talking about the players. It's different from sport to sport, but still, at the end of it, the players are the ones who go out and have to execute and do their job and shit.
And I think a perfect example, think of like the best player right now, LeBron, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is Cleveland now, do they have a great front office? No, but he's a great player, so he wins there. Exactly. L.A. was a crap show after Kobe left. He goes in. Now they're back to being it's about the player. You got to have players.
You want to hear the best example? Is if the Bulls didn't have Derrick Rose get hurt, they would have went to multiple probably NBA finals. I don't know if they would have won. And would have made guard packs, the two biggest clown shows on earth, made them look good. The players make the organization, and organizations fall into great players all the time, especially if you win the lottery. Mm-hmm. And so the Bulls, leadership and guard packs didn't know what they were doing, and they got to Eastern Conference Final, couldn't get over LeBron, but it's like to your point, Matt. It's all about players. It's not about the leader.
And I think if you have a good front office and coach, like look at the Miami Heat, like. You know, obviously they won when they had the players, but they've stayed relevant because they have a good Pat Riley, have a good front office. Same with the Celtics, right? They've rebuilt now. They haven't got over the top because I don't think they've had the players to go there. Mm-hmm. But if you have a good organization, at least it gives you a base, and you can stay somewhat relevant. But until you get the actual players, you ain't going to win the whole thing.
I think the true sign of a well-run organization is the Celtics and the Heat, Matt. You're spot on with that because you have good coaches, good front office. But in order to get over the top, you need those elite guys. Without that, it doesn't mean shit at the end of it all. So when I hear a guy like Jameer Nelson or anybody else blame it on the front office, I mean, look, he's retired. Well, actually, he has not officially retired. I didn't realize that, but he hasn't played in a couple years now. But if you're saying that, if you're putting the blame on the front office, yeah, maybe they weren't great, but I think you need to look inward more. I think that there's more of a you issue than you realize, because especially in the NBA where there's only so many guys on the court and everything, and you can't make up for certain deficiencies for teammates and stuff as easily as in football or anything.
Yeah, and we've seen front offices, make things fall apart too. Like I still think Danny Ainge made the wrong decision on not making a move last year. You know, he misread the situation.
Definitely.
It wasn't good chemistry. So they had the talent, but I think he prevented them from going forward because he needed to make a decision. So again, I think it goes back to me. It's when people have those stupid arguments about Brady and Belichick. They needed each other, and if you can't see that, then you're an idiot. That's how I see it.
Right. Yeah, and it's a totally different thing too with football, baseball. I can't even begin to start with hockey, but when you go with coaches too in the NBA, there are very few exceptions where you deal with a guy who's elite, who can make a difference for a team. I mean, Phil Jackson obviously is a prime example of that too. You look at Popovich too, another guy. And Spoelstra, I mean, is a guy who early on I didn't have much respect for. It's like, well, he's got LeBron and he's got Dwayne Wade, and then Bosch is your third option. I mean, how do you not win? How do you not win more with that? But we've seen clearly that he's an elite coach for sure, and that's why they've been so successful. Him and Pat, of course, Pat Riley too, pulling the strings and everything down there. But one other thing before we wrap up, how do you feel, Matt, about Damian Lillard being one of the three cover boys for 2K21?
So can I ask you a question? I should ask Ty this. He's a 2K legend.
That's true, right? Ty's a 2K guy here. What am I saying?
I don't understand the three cover thing. I always thought they picked one guy, like the Madden cover. It's one person. They don't do that for 2K. They have like different covers.
I know they have a Legends cover, Ty, but I don't know about they've done that before at least. I don't know about the third cover. That was new to me too.
Yeah, I don't know what's the deal with the three covers, but I mean, I like the choice of Damian Lillard. Who's the other two? Is there any hints or clues?
They have not put them out there yet, but I had some guesses. And if there's a Legends cover, if you're not picking a current player, then the Legends cover has to be Kobe, right? No question about it.
And he's already been – I don't know if this matters, but Kobe has been on a bunch of them, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. But for given what's happened, given he's obviously a legend, all this crap, he's Hall of Famer now, all these different things, if they do a Legends cover, it has to be him. If they're going to have a second cover and that's also a current player, the two guys I was thinking of before I considered the Legends part was Zion and Giannis. I would think that Zion would be the guy who gets it over Giannis, though, first, just because the way everybody keeps talking about Zion, it feels very similar to around when he was getting drafted again. Everybody's excited. I mean, obviously the Pelicans are the ones that are kicking everything off. I think the NBA wants to see – they desperately want to see them get into the playoffs in advance. I don't know if they will, but – everybody seems really excited. So I would say, what do you guys think as the second option, assuming Kobe?
I did see a video of I don't know if it was a preview of next year's game or something.
Yes,
but
it was
Zion.
Yeah, yes,
it was Zion. So I don't know.
Crazy. The graphics on that shit are getting. I mean, somehow they always get better every single year. The graphics, not necessarily the mechanics.
You know, I was gonna say, like, to me. And Nick, you can talk about this too, because we and Ty, you play 2K. I always feel like there's certain game like years, like the more like especially like Madden too. I think about Madden, like the graphics have gotten better, but that doesn't mean the gameplay has gotten better. Like I really enjoyed like the early on, like 2K10, 2K11. Like those will always be my favorite games to play.
Yes, yes. Our college years, 2010 to 2014. Those were my favorite 2K years, 1,000%. I think 2K12 was my jam.
And it could be because we played them more, because I haven't played 2K in I don't even know how many years. But I got to a point, though, I'm like, the graphics are great and all, but, like, I don't know, I felt like the gameplay dropped off, and they put a flop button. Once they put the flop button, then I was out. You can't have a flop button. Come on.
I got I got really annoyed with the shot controls, Ty. And I know you said that you connected in your Ethernet cord and it made a big difference, but I've still had some issues with it.
Yeah, if you play online, I highly recommend having an Ethernet cable. And apparently having a PlayStation Pro is like a really big thing too. Like the just having a faster processor, I guess. I'm not really sure, but the Ethernet cable for me personally made a big difference if you play online. I play a lot of the My Player mode, and so I like having like the stretch four, like the bigger shooter. Okay. My biggest gripe with the game is like passing. Passing is the biggest problem. Like it makes dumb passes.
Yep.
Like if it's a direct one from me to you, like the pass is fine. But if a guy's standing in between us, the guy still tries a direct line pass instead of a lob or trying to reach around the guy and throw like a left-handed pass, you know, a wraparound.
Yes.
Something like that. It's weird that the passing is just so bad in that game. But
the thing that pisses me off the most is switching players on defense. I can't stand that shit. Because there'd be times where I know exactly who I want to go to. You're trying to stop a fast break or whatever it is. You know the next move they're going to make. And then I'm trying to switch to a guy on the baseline, and I'm on the elbow, and then I switch to the guy who's at the top of the key. How the hell does that happen? I can never figure that shit out anymore. Maybe we're just getting old, though. I don't know. That is a little concerning, though. Now I'm thinking about the complaints that we have, and it's like, we're old. Shit.
Phasing out, dude. The thing is, too, like they made too many buttons to make a move. Like, all these different combinations. I don't got time for that. I want to do a crossover by hitting the one button. I don't need to do some combination. Like, it's so stupid.
It used to be where the shot stick, I feel like you could disable the shot stick and it would make it easier to make moves. But I don't think you can do that anymore either. I was always an X guy. I always preferred that. Much easier.
Like you said, the graphics. When I saw a video of Zion, I was like, "Oh my god, it looks real! Like it looks like him."
Yeah, but crazy. The mechanics. I mean, that happened with Madden too. The mechanics became an issue, and things just got so slow. I feel like the pace with 2K now is pretty reasonable. I used to like it when everybody ran ridiculously fast. That was my game, but Madden got brutal with that. And then with baseball, the issue's always been like fielding. There's always the show figured it out, but that was always a problem too with all that shit. But anyways, so Zion is the guy that we're all predicting as the other cover, with Kobe being the Legends cover.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I'm a big Dame Dollar guy, so I'm happy he's on there.
He's got to have a lot of music. What?
Luka.
That's not unreasonable.
The game is massive international, and you need to have an international star on there. He's
Yeah, I would say him or Giannis
on there, but I think I'd go Luka, and then next year Giannis will get another MVP possibly, and just throw him on next year as the cover athlete.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. I didn't think about it, and that would explain why they have three. They have an international cover. Maybe that's not available here. You have the international cover, you have the U.S. cover, and then you have the Legends cover. Boom. Yep. Then you're all set. Look at you, Ty. That's freaking brilliant. Jesus. You should have been a marketing major in college. That's what you should have done. Shit. All right, before we get going, Ty, I imagine you have nothing else to add. You're good?
No, I'm good.
Matt, you got anything else to add?
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen it, I don't know when it came out, but I saw it on Twitter, but we were talking about it earlier. The on the BET Awards, Lil Wayne did a version of the Kobe Bryant song that he originally, I think, came out with in like around 2010. But he went on the BET Awards and redid the song. It's pretty cool. It's got video highlights of Kobe and stuff while he's doing. But he also remixed at the end, like the last verse, and he was talking about obviously his daughter and Black Lives Matter. So it was actually pretty. It was pretty powerful. I enjoyed it. Anytime I can watch Kobe highlights, I enjoy it.
So it's a must watch, not just a must listen.
I would think both. If you can only listen to the song, I still think it's powerful, but. Me personally, I like the Kobe add-ons.
Do you know what the original song name was? Because I've listened to some Lil Wayne, but I don't
listen. If you just type in on YouTube, because I don't think it's on like Apple Music or Spotify. I don't think it's probably on one of those. Because if you type in on YouTube, Lil Wayne, and then type in Kobe Bryant, it will come up as the original song. The newer one, you have to probably type in the BET Awards, because he just did it live on that. So.
Gotcha. Okay. I did see on Twitter that I did see that it was out there, but I have not watched it yet. I'll make sure to watch. Maybe we'll retweet it from the show account too. But all right, that's everything. We will talk to you all again next week.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah, I just want to be all right with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions. I'm just hoping for some.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.